The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 397 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on the Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Before we get into the show, and we do have a lot to cover, I want to say that I hope all of you had a very Merry Christmas. I know it can be a very hectic time of year. I just hope you got time to relax a little bit, hang out with family and friends, and enjoy the holiday because it does go quickly. We're out there buying gifts and more gifts. You're cooking, you're baking, then you're wrapping the gifts. That's why I'm a huge fan of the gift bag. Whoever came up with the gift bag, genius. Like Albert Einstein or Ben Franklin. You buy the gift bag, a little tissue paper, you put the gift in, and you're good to go. Keep it simple, stupid. The KISS theory. I try to live by that theory. Keep it simple, stupid, because I need all the help I can get, especially when it comes to shopping. Although I do always get credit. I pick out some very, very funny cards, whether it's Christmas or birthdays. I am excellent. I should really, you know, use that as a part-time job, another income, you know, picking out funny cards. I'm very good at that. That's really my forte. As far as cooking or baking, anything like that, setting up the Christmas tree, decorations, I am completely useless. But I'll have you know, when it comes to getting funny cards, that's right up my alley. So I hope all of you had a great Christmas and all the best to you and your family in 2016 as the new year is quickly approaching. All right, here we go on episode 397 of the Sports Report. 30 to 40 minutes, fast pace, high energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And whatever you hear, feel free to comment, agree, disagree. Your thoughts always welcome on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT. The underdogs were barking this week in the NFL. The Panthers, Steelers, Patriots, Seahawks, all went down. Meanwhile, the Cardinals and Chiefs continue to roll as we head toward the final week of the regular season. I'll update you on the playoff picture. We already know the six NFC teams that are playoff bound. We just don't know the seeds yet. And Peyton Manning is outraged because he was accused of receiving HGH, which is human growth hormone, back in 2011 while he was recovering from neck surgery. This story is a little bizarre. I'll get into the details coming up and tell you exactly what Peyton had to say. It's all on episode 397 of the Sports Report. The thing that we love about the National Football League is we just never know. We may think that a game is a stone-cold mortal lock, but nothing is a given in this league, which is why the NFL is so popular. Parity reigns supreme, and week in and week out, year in and year out, fans honestly believe that their team has a shot. We see squads going from worst to first every year. Look at the Washington Redskins. Well, when Carolina played Atlanta just 2 weeks ago, the Panthers won 38-0. That's right, 38-0. So, of course, Carolina would win on Sunday, right? Wrong. The Falcons were 6.5-point underdogs in their own building against the undefeated Panthers. Carolina scores on its opening drive, going 80 yards and 11 plays. Cam Newton finished it off with an 8-yard touchdown run, so you're thinking, here we go again. It's going to be another laugher. Another 38-0 special is coming our way. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, that was the only touchdown for the Panthers on this day. The play of the game was Julio Jones' 70-yard touchdown grab to put Atlanta up 14-10 late in the third quarter. Matt Ryan pointed at him, said go deep. Then he just heaved it up, just launched it. and Jones put star linebacker Luke Kuechly on a poster. Normally, when you think about posterizing someone, we're talking about the NBA with a monster dunk. No, this was the NFL and a great catch by Jones, who just went up and over Kuechly for a tremendous grab. The safety, Kurt Coleman, tripped, fell over, so he was totally out of the play. It was just up to Kuechly and Jones went up above him and made that catch. The Falcons never trailed after that play. They gave Carolina one last possession with a minute and a half to go due to some awful clock management and a dumb penalty which stopped the clock. But Vic Beasley, who was the rookie, he iced it, came off the edge, got a sack and strip of Cam Newton. Adrian Claiborne recovered, and that was that. 20-13 Atlanta in a stunner. Carolina lost a regular season game for the first time since November 30th of last year. What a run for the Panthers. And this wasn't a fluke. Atlanta outgained Carolina by nearly 100 yards. The Falcons held the ball for 35 and a half minutes. Newton only passed for 142 yards. Ryan threw for 306. So credit to Atlanta. Falcons are 8-7. Carolina is 14-1. That is still the best record in the league. One game better than Arizona. And I'll get to the red hot Cardinals coming up. The Panthers host the Bucs this Sunday. Win that, and Carolina clinches home field throughout the NFC playoffs. It won't matter what Arizona does. So win, and Carolina is the number one seed. And the Bucs are out of it. That's a game Carolina should get. To the AFC, what a doozy here. Pittsburgh was a 10-point favorite at Baltimore. That is a huge line in the NFL. The Steelers needed the win. The Ravens have been at it for a long time now. They were 4-10, totally out of it, three straight losses, the last two by a combined score of 69-20. Plus, Ryan Mallett, remember him from the Hard Knocks show on HBO? The guy overslept, Bill O'Brien's all angry at him, Texans end up getting rid of the guy. Well, he made his first start for Baltimore, the fourth quarterback that the Ravens have used. It is amazing how so many teams this year have gone through quarterbacks. The Cowboys, the Texans, the Colts, the Ravens. All signs before this game pointed to Pittsburgh. Three words, and you've heard them before. Any given Sunday. And once again, this was not a fluke. Baltimore was the better team on this particular day. The Steelers' high-flying offense with Big Ben and all those receivers, they never got on track. Ravens set the tone with a 15-play, 75-yard touchdown drive in the first quarter. That drive alone took more than 7 minutes off the clock. So basically, half of a quarter expired on that drive. The Ravens led 13-3 at halftime. They're up 20-10 in the fourth quarter, and it could have been 27-10, game over, but Courtney Upshaw lined up in the neutral zone, which erased a 100-yard pick six by Jimmy Smith. Total brain cramp by Upshaw. He just didn't know where he was lining up. Pittsburgh then scores. It's a 14-point swing. Instead of being down 17, D'Angelo Williams takes it in from 2 yards out, and now it's a 3-point game. Steelers got the ball back, but Big Ben's pass on 4th and 15 to Marcus Wheaton was incomplete at the 2-minute warning, and the Ravens held on 20-17 in another shocker. Baltimore dominated time of possession, did not have any turnovers. Ravens picked off Roethlisberger twice, and that doesn't count the pick six. A Big Ben was held to 215 yards. Mallett passed for 274 and a touchdown. Now, if I would have told you coming in that Ryan Mallett is going to pass for more yards than Ben Roethlisberger, you would have looked at me and said, Paul, what time did happy hour start? But it happened. That is the NFL, so hats off to the Ravens' defense because that is a very tough offense to stop. Antonio Brown, all those receivers, D'Angelo Williams at running back. What a pickup he's been. Big Ben, obviously, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Pittsburgh loses. Steelers fall to 9-6. They were swept by the Ravens for the first time since 2011. So the Steelers must win at Cleveland and get some help if they want to get in the postseason. They need the Jets to lose at Buffalo or Denver to lose out. And the Steelers can only look in the mirror here. They controlled their own destiny and they blew it. And I know Pittsburgh-Baltimore is a big rivalry and everybody always says throw the records out, but listen, you got Ryan Mallett, your fourth quarterback starting. You're a 10-point favorite. You're on a roll. I mean, that's a game the Steelers had to win, and they were outplayed. End of story. So now they're on the outside looking in. I'll get to the Jets and much more. We'll cover every game Sunday in the NFL coming up. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. iHome has great gifts for all your family members and friends. Who cares if Christmas is over? You can still find something awesome. From the portable color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN-6, iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered. And maybe you got some extra cash for the holiday. You want to get something nice. Go to the website, iHomeAudio.com. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios that have won awards in the industry to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines value and quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones, earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for hanging out and relaxing. Go to the website, iHomeAudio.com. Look at all the great products. You can check out the apps, the accessories. iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers as well. The sound quality, trust me, cannot be beat. iHomeAudio.com is where you want to go. Do all of your shopping during the holidays, after the holidays, with iHome at iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 397 of the Sports Report podcast, I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks again so much for tuning in each and every Monday here on The Grizz and also in the podcast section of iTunes. If you have a second, we love to see those five-star reviews there. Helps to promote the show. So let's get to the Jets now. They were on the outside looking in. That all changed after Pittsburgh loses and the Jets pull off a thrilling 26-20 overtime victory against the Patriots. Again, this was not a fluke. New York was the better squad for most of the game. The Jets were up 2 touchdowns in the third quarter. It was a defensive score that got New England back in it. Jamie Collins took a fumble 14 yards to the house. All of a sudden, it's 17-13. Patriots have some life again. Then they're down 7. Tom Brady drove the Pats 66 yards in 11 plays. They score the tying touchdown with just under 2 minutes remaining. A 9-yard pass to James White, who was wide open over the middle. They got White matched up with the linebacker. He got free easily. Very simple pitch and catch for the touchdown. Then there was a lot of confusion in overtime. Patriots special teams ace Matthew Slater, no relation to AC Slater from the hit show Saved by the Bell. Slater and the Patriots win the coin toss. Slater tells the referee that they want to kick. And it turns out, everybody thought Slater made a mistake, that he got it wrong. Turns out that's exactly what head coach Bill Belichick wanted to do. He was hoping to play the field position game, hoping his defense gets a stop, and then he only needs a field goal to win it. However, his plan backfired because the Jets went right down the field, scored a touchdown, won the game. Now, I have a lot of respect for Bill Belichick. Look at all those Super Bowl rings, okay? Enough said. But if I've got Tom Brady, who is arguably the best quarterback of all time, I have him number one on my list. I want him on the field in overtime with a chance to win the game. He just led a touchdown drive late in the fourth quarter. And the Jets aren't a terrible offense. They have weapons at wide receiver with Marshall, who had a big catch in overtime, and also Decker. They ran for 143 yards in this game. They averaged 5.3 a carry. Okay, it wasn't like their offense was doing nothing. Belichick got burned. He tried to outthink the room, and he paid for it. The Jets go 80 yards in overtime. Decker's six-yard pass from Ryan Fitzpatrick was the game winner. A fade to Decker. They beat Malcolm Butler, the hero from the Super Bowl. And that was that. The bearded one, Mr. Fitzpatrick, who's just one touchdown shy of 30 now for the season. Unbelievable year he's having. He threw for 296 and three scores. Two of them went to Marshall, who had eight catches for 115 yards in the day. New York outgained New England 428 to 284. Again, this was not a fluke. Jets were the better team. Patriots 1-for-10 on third down. Ouch. And they averaged just 3 yards a carry. Really had no running game in this one. But I want to get your thoughts on Belichick's decision to kick there. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Brady was 22 of 31, 231 yards, a touchdown, one pick. In fairness to him, he was under pressure all day long. Like I said, the Jets were the better team overall. They have won five in a row, and they now control their own fate at 10-5. A win at Buffalo, and the Jets earn a wild card berth. Win and you're in. It's that simple. Now, we know a big storyline all week is going to be Rex Ryan because he would love to ruin their season. The Patriots are 12-3. They will still clinch home field throughout with a win at Miami this week. Boomer Esiason on CBS's studio coverage, he was having a tough time with trying to figure all this out. And I have to say, if you're on national TV, all right, you're making a nice chunk of change. And I'm just talking about Boomer here. I heard a lot of guys on Sunday botch this stuff. Do a little bit of homework before Sunday starts and the games begin. I mean, it's not that difficult. I heard a lot of misinformation or guys who just really weren't sure about playoff scenarios at all. These guys are on national TV. All right, how about doing a little bit of preparation here? But if the Patriots win and they're at Miami and the Dolphins are done, the Patriots will be the number one seed home field throughout in the AFC. Okay, that's that. Now to the Chiefs. Kansas City wrapped up a playoff berth with a 17-13 victory over the visiting Browns. At 10-5, Kansas City is in. We don't know yet if they're a wild card or if they'll end up being the division champ, but we know they are in. And what a job by head coach Andy Reid. From 1-5 to 10-5, 9 in a row. And remember, they've been on this roll without Jamal Charles, who's one of the best backs in the league. I know because I had him on one of my fantasy football teams. It's my first round pick. He gets injured. Story of my life. Kansas City was up 17-3 at halftime against Cleveland. They ended up having a tough time. They struggled to put away the Browns. Johnny Manziel led Cleveland from its 30-yard line to Kansas City's 18, but time ran out after his 14-yard pass on 4th and 10 to Darius Jennings. They got the first down, but they were out of timeouts. Jennings was tackled in bounds. Clock runs out. Johnny Football then slams his helmet down. He only passed for 136 in this game with an interception, but he used his legs a lot, something we saw at Texas A&M. Now, over the long haul, you know, I don't believe that that is sustainable in the National Football League with the way defenders can run at linebacker and on the defensive line everywhere over the field. These guys can run. But he was able to scramble for first downs in this game. He wound up with 108 rushing yards on 11 carries. Alex Smith had one big run, a 29-yarder. He threw two touchdown passes. Smith only had 125 passing yards. He also had an interception, which is very, very rare. but you never expect him really to light it up. His touchdowns went to Jeremy Maclin. Gee, you think the Eagles miss him? And you think they miss Andy Reid? I mean, people were willing to buy his plane ticket out of town after his final season. And now you look at what he's done. He's been a really, really good coach in Kansas City. And he also was a very good coach in Philly as well. Now fans are tired of Chip Kelly already after a few seasons. But Maclin had a touchdown catch, went over 1,000 yards receiving. Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the game, had a touchdown. The Chiefs don't wow you. They just win. 9 in a row ties a franchise record. They will host the Raiders Sunday. Kansas City, as I mentioned, could still win the division if Denver doesn't take care of business. The Colts are hanging around barely in the dismal AFC South. Indianapolis improved to 7-8 with a road win over Miami, another underdog who won outright on Sunday. Frank Gore, the ageless one, had 2 touchdown runs, including a 37-yarder early on. The Dolphins' tackling on that play was just pathetic. That's why you're 5-10. Miami had a shot to win this game. They had 1st and goal from the 5 and could not get in. 3 consecutive incomplete passes by Ryan Tannehill. And then on 4th down, he was sacked. Had no chance on that play. Just got swarmed. Problem with the snap. Tannehill was sacked back in the first quarter for another safety. I don't know what it is this year with the Dolphins and safeties. 6 sacks in the game for the Colts. One bright spot for Miami was Jarvis Landry. He is the first Miami wide receiver with 100 catches in a season. Had a spectacular one-handed grab in this game. If you haven't seen it, check out the highlight. It is amazing. The Colts did hang on. 18-12 was the final. Matt Hasselbeck left in the second quarter with a right shoulder injury. He just cannot finish a game. Enter Charlie Whitehurst, the veteran. He went 9-14, 78 yards. The Colts were held to 268 total yards and won. They are still a game behind Houston in the South. Houston's 8-7, but Indy needs a lot of help to win this division. The Texans pummeled the Titans 34-6 down in Nashville. A wise man once said, "You can't stop Brandon Whedon. You can only hope to contain him." I think Jerry Jones said that once upon a time. The Cowboys castaway threw 2 touchdowns, and believe it or not, he ran for another. His first career rushing touchdown. Whedon was 15-24, 200 yards, no interceptions. He is the 4th quarterback that Houston has used. This was a rout. Quinton Demps got the snowball rolling, a 33-yard fumble return score. Houston never looked back. Texans forced 4 turnovers. They will host Jacksonville on Sunday. Meanwhile, Tennessee and Cleveland are battling for the number 1 overall draft pick. They are both 3-12 in the toilet bowl. How good do the Cardinals look right now? The national media bobbleheads are finally catching on to Arizona. This is a legit Super Bowl contender. I've been telling you this for a long time. They de-pants the Packers 38-8 out in the desert. Aaron Rodgers was sacked 8 times. Green Bay's offensive line was embarrassed. They're banged up. They gave up 9 sacks overall in this game. Cardinals took 2 of Rodgers' fumbles to the house. Green Bay had 4 turnovers. The Pack was outgained 381-178. This was complete and utter domination. Carson Palmer, an MVP candidate, passed for 265, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Coming up, I'm going to ask you who you think is the MVP. Rodgers, 15-28, 151 yards, a touchdown, and interception. But again, very little time to throw here. Arizona is 13-2, 9 wins in a row. Green Bay drops to 10-5. Packers are now tied with the Vikings atop the NFC North. Minnesota steamrolled the Giants 49-17 in a primetime laugher. Adrian Peterson ran for 104 yards and a score. Eli Manning tossed 3 interceptions, including a pick 6 to Harrison Smith. in the second quarter. This one was over in the third. Another behind the woodshed special. New York was 1 of 11 on third down without suspended receiver Odell Beckham Jr. The G-men are 6-9. They had already been eliminated from the playoff race when Washington took down the Eagles in Philly Saturday night to give the Redskins the NFC East championship. Kirk Cousins is on quite a roll. What a story that is. Back to the Giants. They're going to miss the postseason for the fourth consecutive year. The Vikings are in the playoffs for the first time in 3 years. If they beat Green Bay, they will be the number 3 seed. That game was moved to Sunday night. It is at Lambeau Field. The Packers beat Minnesota 30-13 back on November 22nd in their first meeting. This one should be a lot closer. Back to upsets palooza. The Rams were 13-point dogs at Seattle and won outright 23-17. The Seahawks have been playing so well. They'd won 5 in a row. Russell Wilson was on fire. The Rams had not won there since January of 2005. Talking 10 years ago. You can't figure this stuff out. Just can't. Akeem Ayers ran a fumble back 45 yards for a quick 10-0 lead. Seattle never recovered. Seahawks had 3 turnovers to none for St. Louis, and that is always the most important stat. Seattle also had 10 penalties, 0 running game. Marshawn Lynch is still out, and they miss him. Wilson threw his first interception in, get this, 168 attempts. Wow. He was 25 of 41, 289 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jermaine Kearse caught an 18-yarder with 17 seconds to go. That just made the final score look better. Rams recovered the onside kick. Doug Baldwin set a franchise record with his 14th touchdown catch. It was not enough, though. Case Keenum has won 3 straight starts. St. Louis is 7-8. Still a disappointing season for the Rams, but you like the effort that you're seeing. And how about the hustle by the center, Tim Barnes, got down the field and recovered Todd Gurley's fumble deep in Seattle territory. A few plays later, Gurley scored to give St. Louis a 13-point lead. That was a huge recovery by Barnes. Seattle will be a wild card team. They are 9-6. They have a road trip to Arizona up next. So the 6 NFC playoff teams are set. We don't know the seeds, but we know the teams. Carolina, Arizona, Green Bay, Minnesota, Washington, and Seattle. That's your Super 6. The Panthers and Cards will get byes. Washington will be at home by virtue of being a division champ. And then we have to wait and see what happens Sunday night between Green Bay and Minnesota. One team will be the 3 seed. The other team will be a wild card team. In the AFC, only 3 teams are locked into the playoffs. New England, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. But Houston's a very solid bet in the AFC South. They host Jacksonville, a game they should win. And the Colts are a game back. Indianapolis needs a lot of help. If the Jets win at Buffalo, New York is in as a wild card. Pittsburgh is the team now that needs help. The Steelers are now 9-6 after that upset loss to Baltimore. Wrapping up week 16, Cowboys lost at Buffalo 16-6. The Bills are 7-8, Dallas 4-11. Mike Gillisley took over for Shady McCoy, ran for 93 yards, including a back-breaking 50-yard touchdown with 2.5 minutes to play. Kellen Moore made his first start for Dallas, 13-31, 186 yards and a pick. Dallas is 1-10 without Tony Romo. Dez Bryant was also out in this one. The Bears used a big fourth quarter to upset the Buccaneers, 26-21 in Tampa. Both teams 6-9. Jay Cutler, 20-27, 156 yards and a touchdown. Jameis Winston, the rookie, 15-29, 295, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick. If you took the underdogs, you're probably looking good right now. Jaguars lost at New Orleans 38-27. Drew Brees played despite a foot injury, threw for 412 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tim Hightower ran for a buck 22 and two scores. Saints are 6-9. The Jags 5-10. Blake Bortles passed for 368, four touchdowns, and two interceptions in the loss. Finally, the Lions defeated the 49ers 32-17 in the Motor City. Matthew Stafford threw for 300 yards, two touchdowns. Detroit is 6-9. Lions have actually won 5 of 7. Just got off to a terrible start. 49ers are 4-11. They've lost 5 of 6. They had 11 penalties. 49ers were lining up offside all day long. Just inexcusable. There was one positive. Anquan Boldin becomes the 13th player with 1,000 career receptions. So congratulations to Boldin. Quite a career. That's a recap of all of Sunday's action in the NFL. Two questions for you. Number one, what did you think of Bill Belichick deciding to kick in overtime? Number two, who is the MVP? Is it Cam Newton, Carson Palmer, or Tom Brady? That's A, B, or C. I'll give you three choices. Newton, Palmer, or Brady. Palmer, I think, has more weapons than the other two. Patriots have had so many injuries. We know about Carolina's receiving core. They do have a stud tight end in Greg Olsen, but they don't have the receivers. Nothing close than Arizona has. I mean, they have some of the best in the game right up there with Pittsburgh. So let me know on Twitter who should be the MVP, Newton, Palmer, or Brady. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Now to a story about a former MVP, and that is Peyton Manning. Here on episode 397 of the Sports Report, Paul Roberts with you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv, the kids call it the Grizz, or in the podcast section of iTunes where the show is free. Just do a search for the Sports Report with Paul Roberts and you'll find us there in iTunes. Story broke this weekend that created quite a stir. Al Jazeera reported that Peyton Manning was one of several athletes who received performance-enhancing drugs from an anti-aging clinic in Indianapolis. The Geyer Institute is the name of the clinic. An undercover reporter, Liam Collins, who is a British hurdler, very good athlete, he spoke with a man named Charlie Sly, who was a pharmacy intern at the Geyer Institute. According to Sly, shipments of human growth hormone, or HGH, were sent to Manning's home address in 2011 while Peyton was recovering from neck surgery. The shipments were reportedly sent using his wife's name, not Peyton's name. Now, before we get into this too far, I want to point out that Charlie Sly recorded a video on YouTube. You can see it. He took back everything he said. He says he made up the information that he gave to Collins, who was the undercover reporter for Al Jazeera. Now, Peyton did admit to going to the Geyer Institute in 2011, but he said that was to use a hyperbaric chamber, which was recommended by the Colts doctors and trainers to help him recover from the neck surgery. As for the claims about receiving HGH, Peyton was furious. He told ESPN, quote, "Absolutely not. It's a freaking joke. Disgusted is really how I feel. I'm trying to understand how someone can make something up, admit he made it up, and yet somehow it gets published in a story. It's completely fabricated, complete trash, garbage," end quote. Peyton said, any medical treatments that his wife receives, that's her business, has nothing to do with him. It was odd to see Peyton so angry and frustrated because we view this guy as this likable, humble guy. He's in all the commercials. He's funny. This was a different side of Peyton Manning. And if it is indeed false, you can understand why the guy's ticked off. Other NFL players linked to PEDs in this report include James Harrison, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, and Mike Neal. They have all dismissed the report as total BS. Sly also mentioned a couple of Major League Baseball players, Ryan Zimmerman and Ryan Howard. They have also denied the allegations. Listen, we've seen plenty of pro athletes deny using PEDs and steroids and HGH, and then we find out that they were lying. right? Alex Rodriguez, Lance Armstrong, Rafael Palmeiro. I can still see him in my mind waving his finger during that congressional hearing. So I understand if you're skeptical. I get it. I usually am too. But just because other athletes lie doesn't mean Peyton Manning is lying. And I also don't know that we can trust Charlie Sly, who immediately denied everything he told the Al Jazeera reporter once the story went public and blew up. He said it was absolutely false what he had told that reporter. Chris Mortensen from ESPN spoke with Sly, who said he wasn't even working at the Guyer Institute in 2011. An attorney for Howard and Zimmerman said they will go to court to hold Al Jazeera accountable for smearing their names. We'll have to wait and see about that. I just have a lot of questions about Sly and Collins and this whole report. And you know, I have been extremely outspoken against athletes who have used PEDs. I've called them cheaters, frauds, liars. But I need more information about this case before I'm going to accuse Peyton Manning or James Harrison or Clay Matthews or Julius Peppers or Ryan Zimmerman or Ryan Howard, any of these guys involved in this story, of using HGH and steroids. I need to get more information. The source in this story comes out and says, oh yeah, you know everything I said? None of it's true. So I'm not going to point the finger just yet. But I want you to comment on it, your feelings, your thoughts on Twitter at the Sports RPT, because it was big news over the weekend. The Sports RPT, that's my handle on Twitter. This has been episode number 397. Again, I hope all of you had a very Merry Christmas, and I wish you nothing but the best in 2016. Enjoy New Year's Eve. Have a fun time. Have a safe time ringing in the new year a little bit later this week, and enjoy some college football games that, guess what, actually mean something. Yes, they actually mean something. We're finally getting to the bowl games that count. And we deserve it. We've waited long enough. So thanks again. Keep the tweets coming at the Sports RPT. Keep the five-star reviews coming in the podcast section of iTunes. Thanks to everyone at GrizzlyProductions.tv for another great year. My buddy Clayton there, who got this thing started. I guess I've been doing it now 4 years. Is that right? Man, time flies when you're having fun. It's been a new adventure. It's been a lot of fun doing this podcast thing, and we will keep it rolling in 2016 for sure. I'm Paul Roberts. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv.